The reading this morning is from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, starting with verse 16. So we do not lose heart. Even though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. For this slight momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all measure, because we look not at what can be seen, but what cannot be seen. For what can be seen is temporary, and what cannot be seen is eternal. For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this tent we groan, longing to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling. If indeed, when we have taken it off, we will not be found naked. For while we are still in this tent, we groan under our burden, because we wish not to be unclothed, but to be further clothed, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. He who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always confident, even though we know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, we do have confidence, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please Him. For all of us must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each may receive recompense for what has been done in the body, whether good or evil. The word of the Lord. A reading from Psalm 15. Lord, who may dwell in your tabernacle? Who may abide upon your holy hill? Those who lead a blameless life and do what is right, who speak the truth from their heart. They do not slander with the tongue, nor do evil to their friends. They do not cast discredit upon a neighbor. In their sight, the wicked are rejected, but they honor those who fear the Lord. They have sworn upon their health and do not take back their word. They do not give their money in hope of gain, nor do they take bribes against the innocent. Those who do these things shall never be overthrown. The word of the Lord.
Good morning. In our series on 2 Corinthians, we continue with Paul's letter to this community that is in, they are distraught, confused, and unsure of where to go next. In this reading that we just heard from 2 Corinthians, Paul makes these distinctions between the body and the spirit, the temporal and the eternal, the seen and the unseen. And you heard that phrase, we walk by faith, not by sight. You know, I think what Paul is doing here is really making a point that this life is not like the life that we have been promised after our death. But in this life, there's a lot that we have to figure out. There's a lot of choices we have from day to day, right? Chocolate or vanilla? It's ice cream season. What? Chocolate? Vanilla? Wow, more vanilla than chocolate. Do we turn left or right? Do we do something now or later? It's part of our human life, but also part of our Christian journey that we continue to ask these questions throughout our life. And we ask, where should we turn? This is what Paul is asking. Where should we turn? There's so much to consider in this life. You know, in the olden days, when I was a kid, we had things like this to tell us where to go. Do you guys know what this is? It's a map, yeah. And now what do we have? GPS, right? How easy is it? We get into our cars or we pull up on our phone a GPS and we put in the address and push go. And then this voice comes on to tell us, turn left, turn right, make a U-turn at the nearest intersection, or proceed to the route. Sometimes it's really helpful, but other times annoying, right? In the old days, we had to get out a map and plan our route, whether it was taking a summer vacation or the route we would take from high school to career and so on throughout our lives, right? Well, I was thinking about, as Christians, what are the tools that we have to help us know which way to turn when there is so much in our way every single day, so many choices to make from the time we are children until the time that we are very old? Where do we find the wisdom that we need for this life? Well, of course, I would say we turn to the Bible, for one. I mean, we have this rich history contained in our Bible, in our scriptures, of poetry and history, letters from apostles like Paul, and gospels that teach us about the history of the Christian people and the ways that they have gone themselves, the mistakes that they have made. And this wisdom guides us along the way. But we also have something very powerful in prayer. How many times have any of us at a crossroad been at a loss for words, a loss for direction, and just simply surrendered in prayer, saying, God, I have no idea what to do next. I have no idea. Help me to find the way. That surrender to God is an amazing thing, and it's amazing to see what can happen when we do surrender in that way. But there's a third thing here that I think we sometimes forget, and that is Christian community. How often do we, before we make decisions, do we run them by the people who are grounded in faith as we are and ask one another for help? This is exactly what Paul is talking about in his letter. We walk by faith, not by sight. But how are we supposed to see when sometimes our own vision is clouded by our own circumstances? In that way, when we turn to the Christian community, we turn to God in prayer, and we turn to scriptures. That becomes, in essence, our holy GPS. This does not have a voice like Siri or some other voice that comes and audibly speaks into our heads, although sometimes it would be quite nice to get that direct of an answer. But I was thinking about this as this holy sense of GPS yesterday as we were on our way to a graduation and hadn't been there in quite some time. So we put in the address and pushed go, and away we are. And Siri was telling us when to turn left and when to turn right, when suddenly there was a road closure. Big sign, road closed. There was no detour. And Siri didn't know about it. She didn't know what to tell us, which way to go, so we had to figure it out on our own. How often in our lives does that happen, where we have routed a path in our lives? We think we know where God is leading us, and then all of a sudden, we hit a detour or a road close, and we need to figure out what's next. It is in those moments that Paul is saying, do not lose heart, for we walk by faith, not by sight. How many of you are familiar with the online newspaper Huffington Post? Any of you read that? Yeah, just like any newspaper, there are several sections. You can get your news, entertainment, everything like that. There's a great religion section. There's also a section called GPS for the Soul. Kind of a cool title, right? GPS for the Soul. This section is aimed at people who are the growing segment of population who are spiritual but not religious. People who are seeking. People who are searching for meaning and wisdom in their lives, right? Just like we do too, but they're searching in a different way. You can find great articles about yoga and meditation and mindfulness and all kinds of other things that can supplement our life of faith. But yet, it doesn't have the staying power that we have in our Christian faith. Again, those three things, our holy GPS would be the Bible, prayer, and Christian community. Like the people in Corinth, we too may feel at times like we are lost, like we are in a ship without a rudder. But again, this powerful combination of being in Christian community together is so powerful. And that's one of the strengths that I have seen here at Amazing Grace, is this deep sense of community. Now, in a moment, you're going to hear from a reflection from our team who went to China. And you're going to hear how our community is so connected to the community there in China, and how their experience is so different from ours. In churches where they have no heat or light or running water, and here we are sometimes complaining about the heat in the sanctuary with no air conditioning. So I just want to reinforce that we are all in this together, led by the same God who leads the community in Corinth so long ago. And now I'll turn it over to the team from China.
It's over a month now since we returned from our mission trip to China, and we all would like to say thank you to you here at Amazing Grace for the support that you gave us, both with your prayers and also with the mission scholarships. During our time in China, we had deeply meaningful experiences with Chinese Christians in several churches. Note, I didn't say Lutheran churches. That's not allowed. In order for the government to have better oversight, it has compelled all Protestant churches to merge together into one Protestant church, including former Lutherans, Baptists, Seventh-day Adventists, and so on. And the Chinese Christians are making it work. Supposedly, there's freedom of religion in China. It's in their constitution. But that means only freedom to believe what you want in your heart, but with no freedom to express it publicly. Nevertheless, the Christian church in China is growing rapidly, and this is a great concern for the government. And so the church finds itself restricted in many, many ways.
During our trip, we visited six churches, a seminary, and the headquarters of the Chinese Christian Council. We met with Elder Oh, who explained that there are over 60,000 Christian churches in China and only 5,000 to 6,000 pastors. Elder Oh's church has 10,000 members, but they have only 3 active pastors, 2 retired pastors. However, they have 20 elders who have some training and 500 dedicated volunteers, which helps them manage. Each of the churches we visited and their congregations face multiple challenges. We saw a beautiful church in Shanghai that was formerly Episcopal. It was gorgeously renovated, but not allowed to open because aesthetically they didn't like the way the stained glass windows looked. We have a slideshow that we were hoping to be able to show you, and we'll show you after church or at another time to show you some of the photos that we took in China. The challenges that we saw the churches face in China really had me reflect on the privilege we have here in the United States. When Pete and I moved to Invergrove Heights, we took about 2 years to find Amazing Grace Lutheran Church. We went to every church within a 5-10 widening mile radius, and we were a little bit like Goldilocks, too cold, too hot, too soft, too, you know, and we were spoiled by choice. We had so many wonderful opportunities. and seeing the challenges that under which Chinese Christians worship really made me appreciate the privilege we have here with our religious freedom in the United States.
There are lots of rules pertaining to driving in China. None of them are obeyed, none are enforced. After a harrowing hour-long drive, we arrived at the turnoff to the Shenzhen Chapel, which is located next to a museum named for Charlotte's grandmother, Anna Martinson. As we turned onto the street, which was really a narrow alley, we were met by a local government official who was assigned to escort us for the whole day. We arrived at the chapel and service was already in progress. The church was, previously alluded to, the church was cold, dark, without functioning electricity, and was heated by a propane tank that had been converted into a wood stove. We observed the congregation worshiping, which consisted of a member who, with literacy, reading a verse out loud, and then those gathered would repeat each verse after him so they could learn the verses, since most of the members did not have literacy. The female lay leader, who was only a farmer with a third grade education, would write passages from the New Testament on a chalkboard, and then would give her thoughts on the meaning of the texts. After this segment of the service, Jeannie and I were invited to share the song we had prepared. We had selected Amazing Grace and told the congregation that we were representing Amazing Grace Lutheran Church back in Minnesota. We sang four verses a cappella, receiving enthusiastic applause at the end. We sat down. But we were not through. The other lay leader asked us to wait and scramble to find a hymnal. She told us through interpreters that Amazing Grace was in their hymnal, and if we helped them learn the tune, she would instruct the members in the Chinese words. We hummed the tune multiple times as the congregation learned the words to the hymn. And we have a recording of it, if that'll play. After we had finally sat down. And I must confess that I never really cared for the hymn Amazing Grace, but after this experience, it has become one of my favorite hymns.